All right. Well, thanks again for being with us in April already for the Ask the Mayor program. We're in Columbus and wanted to start right off with your recent State of the City address. Wanted to mention a couple things about that and just get a little bit more reaction from you, especially when you mentioned working with other cities in combating the growing drug problem. Something we've reported much throughout the legislative session, Governor Pence signed some bills into law that should help, but it's going to take a lot more than that.
Oh, yes. This is a regional problem, and it'll require a regional response. You know, one of the things I announced during the State of the City was what we call our heroin overdose response initiative. And here locally, that's a cooperation effort between the police department and the sheriff's department. What they've established are some common protocols for investigation and for data collection, and then for storage of that data so that it's more readily accessible by each agency. And it's a level of cooperation that we just haven't, we haven't seen much of, you know, around the state, and I think is somewhat unique for us here in Columbus. So I'm really happy that the police chief and the sheriff were able to put that together.
What are some of those specific initiatives that you set to look or move, start in motion now as mayor in terms of trying to combat the drug issue here in Columbus?
Well, from the police perspective, I mean, we try to, well, we back up a few steps. I mean, we really try to break the drug issue down into supply and demand. And you recognize that law enforcement pretty much focuses on supply. With respect to supply, we just talked about the heroin overdose initiative. A year ago, we established an operation called JNET, Joint Narcotics Enforcement Team, another level of cooperation between sheriff and police. We've got a couple officers scheduled in about a month, maybe 3 weeks now, to go to Atlanta for a program on intelligence-led policing. You know, the idea being able to try to better use IT to track criminal activity. We've got some cops identified for a Coffee with a Cop program. And, you know, it may sound simple, but the idea is just to get our policemen or police officers out among the public and try as best they can to sort of break down whatever barriers are inherent in blue uniforms and badges so that, you know, citizens who are our best sources of information feel a little bit more inclined to reach out to a police officer and tell them about something that they've seen that's inappropriate.
There's no quick fix.
None.
To this. This all happens over time, but also it causes a chain reaction and hopes of also reducing crime and other problems associated with drug abuse. So this becomes, it's more than just drug abuse.
Well, the quick fix or the concerns about that relate to the demand side of that supply and demand model. You know, the comment that I made at the State of the City address was we could arrest all the drug dealers this afternoon and tomorrow there would still be demand and supply would return and pretty soon after that. And so part of what we want to be able to do is to identify some of the issues related to demand and see if we can't have an effect on that. But we do think that now that you're talking about a little bit of personal behavior, the desire for these narcotics, that's going to be a slower road. And yeah, that's where the no quick fix comes in.
For those who weren't able to catch your address, you also hinted upon a best-kept secret that's doing wonders for the economy.
Yeah, the airport?
Yeah, the airport.
Yeah. Our Columbus airport really is a pretty well-kept secret. We have the fourth busiest airport in Indiana based on, you know, landings and takeoffs. And we're real proud of that. It's a significant economic contributor, several hundred million dollars a year to the local economy. We talked a little bit about some ways that it will actually continue to grow. We've got another operation coming to the Columbus Airport, a parachute packing operation that will employ about 100 people. And the idea will be to pack parachutes for individuals, for service members, and for materiel. And we'll do that, I don't know whether it's east of the Rockies or east of the Mississippi, but a good portion of the country, you know, those will all come through here. And so, you know, we'll include some kind of recognition for that when we have our Aviation Day in June. But yeah, there'll be some large military planes coming in and out of Columbus, and I want people to understand what they're here for. Yeah,
it's a big part, but there's a lot more that happens here in Columbus too in terms of economic development.
Oh yeah, we spent a little bit of time talking about the fact that we need to change our focus a little bit. I mean, we've been very reliant for the last 40 years on automotive manufacturing, and it's been very good to us. But we understand too that that's a cyclical industry, and when the cycle changes or the cycle matures or however you want to phrase it, we need to be prepared with some other areas of the economy that can pick up the slack. And so we've identified pharmaceuticals, medical device manufacturing, engineering research and development, and then administrative support services as industries that we'd like to target. So we're just going to change the focus a little bit with respect to our economic recruitment.
Speaking of Cummins, and I'm sure there are other big corporations too that are looking to recruit people, and you have said before that education is key, and that's one of your platforms. I've heard this with in Bloomington too with John Hamilton, and normally mayors and education don't normally go kind of, it's not usually under their purview. It's kind of a different block per se.
Yeah, the way I phrase it is, it's not my responsibility, but it's my problem if it doesn't work. And what we're talking about basically is trying to have a trained workforce available for those companies that do want to take a look at us, or for those companies that are already here. We talked a little bit about attainment rates and the fact that in 5 years, it's predicted that 2/3 of all jobs in the United States will require some form of post-secondary credential. Well, to get a post-secondary credential, obviously, you've got to have a secondary credential first. You've got to graduate from high school. And our high school graduation rates have moved up, but they need to do better. And we need to instill or make it part of the culture that even after you finish high school, you're not done learning. You know, that there's some expectation that you will achieve some kind of post-secondary credential. If it's not a four-year bachelor's degree, well then, you know, an associate's degree or some kind of certification that makes you a more employable person, or at least employable at a higher wage. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that because it's critically important.
How does the public education system here address international students that are being recruited from some of these bigger corporations like Cummins?
Are you talking about the kids?
Yeah.
We've got English as a second language teachers, but we try to provide cultural opportunities for them. I know it's a little tough if you're a one or a twosie, but we've got a pretty active Indian association and a very active Chinese association here, and there's a Japanese school as well. I think that's up in Indianapolis, but we do what we can, you know, to make them feel welcome here and allow them to bring some of their culture with them because we know it's important.
But the schools in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it depends upon the culture, you know, the particular one that you're looking for. I'm not sure that the quantity in Columbus is as great, you know, as it would need to be to support a school here. So, you know, we do what we can to make it available for them elsewhere.
Reading a report earlier, Parks Board leader resigns. He sounded frustrated at his in his role and left. It sounded like you were somewhat surprised by this.
That's the first time I heard about it. You know, yeah. And he wrote me an email, said that he wanted to spend more time with his family, and then a month later he sent a news release off to the newspaper that said he was frustrated. And so, and I still don't know any specifics, or you know, he's not shared with me any individual decisions that he was upset about, upset or frustrated with. So we'll just take it as what it is, and he resigned, and we'll move on.
Any new updates on the next Parks Director?
Yeah, the next member of the Parks Board, the replacement will be Julie Abedian, who is president of the Columbus Hospital Foundation. We're real tickled to have her. She's a very capable lady.
I see there's been some progress on the Riverwalk project. How does the city now move along? And it looks like getting some bids on project managers. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, we'd ask for qualifications. It's called an RFQ process for a project manager for that project. We've got several moving parts, several governmental agencies that have to participate, and the funding will also be a bit of an issue. So we felt like it was important for us to try to reach out to someone who had a little bit of experience in how you pull those things all together. And so, we've sent out a request for qualifications. We've received a couple, as in two, responses, and we've got a selection committee that's reviewing those, and we'll make a recommendation to the Redevelopment Commission probably in its next meeting, which I think is scheduled for April 18th.
I came across a study, too, on how Columbus could be made more walkable. Yep. But, you know, that comes, and it was interesting because it came with reducing some driving lanes, and it's interesting on how things move forward, because I'm sure if we go way back, there's probably studies on how to increase driving lanes,
right?
Because the automobile probably isn't going away. How do you come up with that? You know, a challenge of balancing both those that say, hey, traffic could be a problem, and maybe even is now, compared to saying, And not that walkable is bad either.
Right. Really what we're trying to do is to develop ways for people to use other modes of transportation, whether it's walking or bicycling. And I really think we're probably more directed towards bicycling than walking. But the notion is right now we have a people trail system. It's pretty much focused on recreation or recreational uses. And what we would like to do would be to take that to where people can use it to get to work or get to school or go shopping. And my sense is that'll probably, you're probably more looking at a bicycle. But nonetheless, we have some areas out on the east side of town, some apartment complexes that are close to, say, the Walmart and the Lowe's, Kohl's out there, that residents do want to try to walk to. So we'll try to accommodate that to get them away from the traffic.
We do have an email from a Ken, and he wanted to know about some of the employees. He said that you ran on a campaign of not losing experienced city employees. Now, he claims you terminated the city fire chief, city attorney, community development director, city engineer. First of all, I want to clarify, because this, again, is just a viewer email. Uh-huh. Was that true that they were all terminated?
Well, you had a long list there, and I'm not sure they were all terminated. But there were a few instances where we felt it was necessary to move on. In general, we replaced three people. We replaced the fire chief, as he mentioned. We replaced the city engineer, and we replaced the city attorney. We also changed the administrative assistant, the person who sits outside the desk here. What we talked about in the campaign was excessive turnover among department heads, and we've made it an effort to keep that to a minimum. We've got well over 20. The mayor has an opportunity upon taking office to make changes there. We made three. So I don't feel like we were at all excessive. And in fact, we can't talk about too much the personnel related stuff, but I'm very comfortable with what we did.
His question, though, was hiring the campaign manager and your campaign supporter with no open or competitive selection process. That's his question.
My choice. I get to pick who I want. And so I can be as open as I want to be with those political appointments or not. And, I had a couple of positions to fill. I knew I had some great people there to go forward with. And so that's the choice I made.
Primary elections are coming up in about a month. I'm sure without saying, yes, any political official, they'd tell you vote, vote, vote. Why should Columbus residents vote in this primary election?
Well, it's your public responsibility. I mean, and that's true whether you're a Columbus resident or, Bloomington or Greenwood. But I do think that we've got a little bit of an opportunity just to step forward and express ourselves. We'll see what the what the results might be. The presidential election seems to capture most of the attention. But here locally, we've got some important races at the county commissioner level for judge, state representative, and I think it's incumbent upon all of us to pay attention and make informed decisions.
And it's more the presidential primary is kind of helping in some ways increase the visibility of the primaries, but the main issue. Are those local races?
Well, I think they are, but I tend to think that the presidential stuff may be drowning out, some of the local races, you have to pay attention. You have to get to know the candidates, and that's one of the nice things about local elections is you can get to learn the personality and the character of the people who are running at the local level, and I would just encourage our voters to do that.
I wanted to end with, I see the Columbus, Indiana Children's Choir celebrating their 20th anniversary. They have a big concert with the Columbus Philharmonic, and it's a big milestone, but I think it also goes to show how big music plays a part in this city.
Right. We've got, a Philharmonic, as you probably know. I mean, we're probably one of the smallest communities in the country to have something like that. We've also got, a regular symphony orchestra called the Columbus Symphony. It's a different, mostly volunteer group. We had a couple of kids, I say a couple, we probably had 25th Street Singers, maybe 10 to 15 young people sing at the State of the City Address, just as a welcome to those who came and provide a little entertainment before the event started. So what we're trying to do is provide plenty of cultural outlets, whether it's singing or music or art, because we think that adds to the vibrancy of our community. And so we're glad that glad for anybody like that to get some recognition.
What else am I missing? Anything big in Columbus that we need to know about?
Well, we continue to work with a number of different projects. I think we've talked before about the Wellsboro Air Park, or the Wellsboro Industrial Development, probably a better phrase for it. We've put applications, or we're preparing to put applications before FEMA to have them rewrite their flood map and try to, you know, remove that property from the floodplain. We've also got an application that we will submit to the Federal Aviation Administration and the Department of Defense so that they can release some 50, 60-year-old restrictions that they have on that property, because it used to be, you know, part of the Army Air Corps back in World War II days, and so we'd like to have those released. A little closer to home, we're going to continue to talk about the railroad and what kind of response, you know, the community might need to put together for it. And then we, as you mentioned earlier, we're going to deal with what I call the land between the bridges, you know, our riverfront, so to speak, between the 3rd Street and the Stewart Bridges. I was in a meeting yesterday. We talked about the State Street implementation, and I'm still hopeful, that we can begin construction out there yet this year. We are going to need, since we crossed the Hawk Creek, we are going to need a permit from the Department of Natural Resources. And I'm told that unless we get a little bit of help, it might be 6 months before we can get a response from them, and that may delay us. But we've got our plans set, I think, in terms of what we want to try to build, and look forward to seeing that come on. It'll be pretty neat.
Is that all part of the Riverwalk project?
No, that's actually a little bit different.
I mean, okay.
It will tie into the People Trail system that we've got, because we want to try, again, the idea is, to be able to get people to use this for transportation, and East High School is at the end of State Street. And so what we want to try to be able to do is get people to come down center of town or out of the old part of town, what we call the big block area, get them across the Hawk Creek, and then, down State Street out to the school. So this is just phase one of what I'm sure will be, several phases. I hesitate to guess how many, but we're hopeful we can get that put together yet this year.